Moikka! Tää on Dashi ja sä kuuntelet VTF at TFVn jaksoa 215. Enjoy!
Hi everyone, it's Vangelis here with WTF at TFW episode 215. A lot of things are shaken up this episode. If you haven't been tuned into primetime, then I'll tell you now. Our very own Gog Dog is in the midst of a big-ass life-changing move, so he's not able to join us this evening. And I'm not in my usual home. I'm in someone else's home. But things are still a little bit on schedule and on the mark. I am joined by Mr. Seth Buzzard.
Hello, I am a male.
Hello, male Seth Buzzard.
Hello, male Vangelis.
It sure is good being a male.
I enjoy maleness.
Me too. We are also joined by the person whose house I'm crashing in. And this new co-host to the podcast for this episode is a female.
You have a female?
We have a female on the podcast.
Oh.
Female, would you like to introduce yourself by a name?
Hello, I am the female known as Kryn.
The one known as Kryn?
No, the female.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You should be.
I'm really sorry about that.
Okay.
All right. What is female Kryn sitting on?
A chair.
However, okay. I, a male, am sitting on a bed.
Kryn, would you say there's a male on your bed?
Yes, I would.
Excellent.
Or am I supposed to say that sentence?
It's been put together through the course of our discourse here.
There is a male on my bed.
Whoa! TMI.
Oh. I thought you knew.
I didn't.
Oh.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, we're here today to talk to you not only about chromosomes, but we're also here to talk to you about Transformers. And we're going to kick off with just a short bit of, it's technically news, but really it's just something that was pitched that unfortunately is not going to happen. This was, who put this together? What's the dude's name? Phil Jimenez? Phil Jimenez, yes. He's worked on comics such as Infinite Crisis, and he worked on Wonder Woman in the early 2000s. He pitched to IDW this awesome concept, completely crazy, but really cool piece of concept art, for Transformers crossing over with the Justice League. So there's stuff in here like Aquaman fighting Piranacon. I don't know who this dude next to that is, but then next to that is a Batman Transformer, a reference to the Crisis using Unicron's hand, reaching through the portal to crush the world, an invisible jet Transformer for Wonder Woman, the Flash running away from Insecticons, and Optimus Prime wearing a Green Lantern ring. Apparently this pitch fell through when DC decided to reboot their entire universe, so if you didn't like that concept, you have yet another reason to not like that concept, because it nullified this potential crossover. Which bums me out, because I don't dislike the New 52, even though I've not read pretty much any of it. The concept doesn't bother me that much, but now that it's nullified what could have been something as crazy as the last couple of G.I. Joe Transformers crossovers, I am kind of bummed out. Seth, how do you feel about this piece of concept art, or this concept itself?
Well, I think you just changed the costumes a little bit to the New 52 versions, and, like, how important was the old DC continuity to this plan?
I don't know.
I don't think it would be too hard to adapt. But I think what would have been totally nuts about it is because it wasn't that long ago they did that Transformer-Avenger crossover, right?
Yeah, that was just in the last couple of years, I think.
Yeah, so that'd be nuts. It would just be like the Transformers are just crossing over with everything. Like Marvel, DC, G.I. Joe, other IDW comics.
Yeah, all they'd have to do is do an Infestation 3 where the Transformers actually meet the other franchises that they're supposed to be fighting against. Yeah, I mean, Transformers, I think, are a great medium for crossovers because they're a crazy concept that you know, because it is Transformers, it tends to fit itself into anything pretty easily. Because it's just like, the Transformers crash-landed here in 1984.
Just The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Like, whatever.
They're like the new zombies.
Mad Men.
Oh, man, Transformers Mad Men. Kryn, How are you feeling about this piece of concept art? Would you like to have seen this comic book come about?
Yeah, that looks really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more of a fan of Marvel, so maybe this frees it up to cross over with Spider-Man. That'd be cool.
Spider-Man was actually in the original Transformers comic books.
Really?
He was in issue number 3.
Cool.
Which is something Marvel apparently has often regretted doing.
Really?
And so when the Clone Saga happened, apparently that was a way for them to say that Spider-Man was actually not the quote-unquote real Spider-Man, and so blah, blah, blah.
Aww.
But Transformers issue number 3, Spider-Man meets Gears, and then they fight Megatron. And I think it's black costume Spider-Man, even.
Really?
What an awesome tag team, Gears and Spider-Man.
Yeah! And Gears, like Gears gets wrecked in near the end of that book, and then Spider-Man's all like, he was a real hero! That's kind of cool.
Just those Gears.
Yeah.
What?
Spider-Man cross Gears. I mean, they're apparently giving Spider-Man a sidekick for the first time in however long he's been in existence. And it's, they say it's his first sidekick, but honestly, Gears was the original.
Mm.
And this new sidekick is some kid.
That's weird.
Mm-hmm.
I don't...
The sidekick doesn't have spider powers at all, either.
Ooh.
And is it a teenage sidekick?
Yep.
You see, that kind of that is contrary to Stan Lee's vision. I don't think that they're respecting Stan the Man Lee.
Well, you know, I am pretty sure that the notion of Spider-Man getting a teenage sidekick has led to at least some form of discussion on the internet.
Well, I saw... Not too long ago, I saw an interview with Stan Lee, and he was talking about how one of the first things that he strove to do was get rid of all the teenage sidekicks because he couldn't stand it. Like he was like, I never liked the teenage sidekicks. Like, if I had superpowers, I wouldn't want to be palling around with kids. At the very least, people might talk.
That is a concern when you're running around wearing tights.
People might talk.
But like that's why they got rid of Bucky originally. That was Captain America's teenage sidekick, and Stan was like, I now have the ability to get rid of this kid.
I had no idea there was a history behind that.
Bucky's a terrible name for a sidekick.
Oh, you know, he's plucky. So his name is Bucky. I'm just noticing in this Green Lantern Optimus Prime piece of imagery, right below Optimus Prime is classic, like, that looks like Afro John Stewart.
What? Like, oh, the Green Lantern John Stewart.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about the Daily Show John Stewart. Like, what?
Yes, he is a Green John Lantern. I mean, I'm just noticing that maybe that was a time period they were going to place this in was like 80s DC.
That's the crossover I want to see. Daily Show Transformers.
Colbert is sided with the Decepticons.
It's perfect.
Yeah, I am always open to Transformers crossing over with anything because I always think that at least on a silly level, it works somehow. And so I'm kind of bummed out that this looks like this is going to be shelved for a while, if not indefinitely. But many props to this image getting out and being shared and the whole story being told about what it is. I'm glad we could at least get a glimpse at it. Moving on from there, let's just talk about some front page pictures with some new picks. Seth, what is your chosen picture this week?
Hey man.
Yo.
Dr. Wu.
Woo!
Is back.
That's right.
And he's strapped. The fine folks at the Dr. Wu laboratories for third party preservation. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Cross pollinization. They have a new gun coming out. So I guess they're gonna be doing a pistol. I'm assuming with that universal peg hole thing.
Yeah.
Based on Classics Megatron.
Yeah, the revolver look.
Yeah, which is pretty cool. Like, I wasn't really that much of a fan of that shape of a gun for Megatron because, like, clearly they couldn't make him a realistic looking gun anymore. But the fact that they even made a gun Megatron toy again was pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So it had to be more, you know, sci-fi-ish to not be confused with an actual sidearm. But it's kind of a neat idea to do, because there's been plenty of people who have made small versions of, like, original G1 Megatron guns.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think you could still go to Marauder John's website and get little G.I. Joe-sized Megatrons. I have a couple.
Yeah.
So it's kind of neat to do a different gun Megatron.
And nobody has actually done this yet. If I recall correctly, Fans Project was going to, but it was one of the very few projects they have, like, permanently shelved.
And I'm kind of surprised Hasbro never did it as just an homage to themselves. Like, have a toy come out with a classic-style Megatron gun accessory.
Yeah, it's a cool-looking gun, especially when a robot is holding it, because I find it makes the fantastical parts of the design work a bit better when it's the gun of a giant space robot rather than a gun that I'm trying to hold and look like a badass with in my MySpace photos. It's 2006. Yeah.
We've gone back in time!
So there isn't really that much to say about it other than I think it's a cool idea.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, in the end, it's just going to be one little piece. It doesn't do anything except for fit into something's hand.
I'm sure it'll come in a really cool pillbox, as is the usual Doctor Wu style for these sort of accessories. And I like pillboxes. Like cut foam inside. Kryn, a little bit of background on you and your involvement with Transformers for listeners who might not have listened to Primetime. You're primarily into Prime right now. You saw the first two seasons of Animated and pretty much all of Prime so far, and also Beast Machines.
And Beast Wars. Yep.
Yeah. So did you ever catch the 2006 Megatron that turned into this kind of gun? Did you ever see that in pictures anywhere, or is this new to you?
No, this is new.
What do you think of the design?
The first thing I thought was the blue is very vibrant.
Mm-hmm.
It's very nice.
Yeah, it's like that riding that purple-blue line.
I'm not sure the grayish and the top gray go together that well, but it looks kind of good.
Cool.
Probably be cool to see in an action figure's hand.
Yeah, I have two copies of this toy, but they're on the West Coast.
Ah.
It's neat. The head sculpt on that Megatron made him look kind of like Ming the Merciless. It was a cool design. A lot of people talked some smack on that design over the years because he basically, the outsides of that gun formed a giant pair of wings for the sake of it being able to transform, and it's always been called, like, oh, it's the Nerf gun Megatron. But I always kind of liked it. I don't like it as much as some other Megatrons. But I'm glad to see Dr. Wu picking up this idea, especially since it is one of the few confirmed canceled Fans Project ideas, which means that nobody was doing this. Very cool. I'm going to continue the third-party train. We're gonna stay IP infringing, because we got a bit of news about TFC Toys Project Uranos, their upcoming massively expensive version of Superion, the G1 combiner made entirely of jet planes. The controversy that was happening, in case people have forgotten, is that apparently there were going to be 6 members of Project Uranos, and Superion was always a 5-member combiner. This had some people up in arms because TFC Toys' main vocal draw are people who want G1 toys with new engineering, and they want it to be as slavishly G1 as possible, and we all saw that when there was enough noise about Hercules not looking quite G1 enough that they actually released successfully an accessory pack to make him look more G1. So we've gotten some info on who this 6th character is. Apparently, the 6th character is going to be packaged with the 5th character, and the 6th character is going to transform into Superion's always massive chest plate. So I think that's perfect. That chest plate was otherwise just going to be a floating accessory, possibly a shield. It's as far as I can tell, this maintains the slavish G1-itude, and it means the chest plate's going to be a million times more interesting than if it was just a block of plastic. So I'm all for this. I think it sounds great. Apparently the 6th figure, packaged with the 5th one, it's going to be a higher price point with much larger packaging. That's fine. I think it's cool. Seth, how are you feeling about this idea of theirs to make the chest plate into a dude?
I like it a lot more than just having a chest plate that doesn't have anything to do when you're not using it and when everything's combined.
Yeah.
So when you take the pieces apart and you have like all your individual robots and then you just have this one plate that maybe you could stick on this guy and it's kind of like this dopey looking shield or backpack or something. It's way more awesome that it turns into a little dude.
Yeah.
So I think that's an awesome idea.
And the comic books recently, you know, or in the last 6 months, introduced briefly a sixth aerial bot called Barrel Roll. So there's precedent, you know, and anyone who needs to call the guy something can just call him Barrel Roll and then, you know, have him get killed. And I think it works just fine. Kryn, yes? let's just jump on in on this one. Even if you don't have an opinion, let's just say, how do you feel about this change, this piece of news about this highly controversized bit of unofficial toyage?
I think it's a nice way to alleviate the controversy. If you don't like the sixth one, he's just a chest plate. If you like him, you can transform him. Mm-hmm. Ta-da!
Controversy. Yeah, controversy.
You say things wrong.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Does it to try to be all cool?
I have a little list at work of all the words he says wrong. I have to add controversy to it.
I gave up a long time ago trying to be like, why are you saying it like that? Because he just does it for a reaction. So it's just better to ignore him and just be like, okay, fine.
Look, cumulatively, what I'm trying to do is enhance the English language. Okay, uh-huh. Why are you squinting at me like that?
Cumulative.
Yeah, cumulatively.
Kryn, you're actually close enough to hit him when he gets like this.
I know. The rest of
us can't do it. We just have to internalize our frustrations.
Entire world, here you go.
Ow! Yeah,
you're
this
welcome.
Is the best episode ever.
Send in your slap requests.
Just because you guys cumulatively can't handle my use of English language.
You're ruining it. Anyway,
I don't know about this.
It seems like a cool solution to the issue. So that's how I did a good job.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing the physical prototype of that piece. I want to see what kind of robot it turns into, what the chest plate looks like. I want to see clearly. This means that SR-71 is most likely Silverbolt, which is going to be funny because it's going to be a white SR-71 if they follow through with the G1 coloring. And SR-71s are called Blackbirds and are often pitch black. So a white Blackbird, maybe on the horizon.
He's breaking barriers.
That's right. And he's infringing on intellectual property.
Ooh, so he's a bad boy.
That's right. Ooh. Kryn, do you want to, like, I can just scroll through this front page if you see something that looks interesting. Actually, I wanted to ask you what you think about this.
Okay.
I just realized. We got images of ARMS Micron Transformers Prime capsule toys. So, Kryn, these capsule toys, one of them is a tiny Bulkhead.
That one.
Yeah, you see this, right?
Whoa.
You want to know what he turns into? A fist. So check this out.
Why?
It's Bulkhead with Bulkhead for a fist.
Whoa.
How do you feel about that?
It's like Bulkheadception.
Yeah.
Very meta. Although, if you were to, like, translate that to human, like, if you fold it up into a fist and then someone was, like, rammed their hand into you and used you as their new fist, that would be weird.
Well, you know, up in Ontario, we actually do have this national pastime.
What? So, what's another picture?
Well, there's more. There's an RC who turns into a sword.
Oh, cool.
So, here's RC with RC for a sword.
Ah, see, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. And the little RC looks kind of freaky. See?
Yeah.
And there's a little Megatron.
Little Megatron.
Tiny Megatron.
Oh.
Turns into a tiny little gun. And there's also a turtle that turns into a shield, but the turtle is...
He's not in the show.
No.
I don't want to see it.
Although I do like he still has the mono eye that all those other little Microns I've been building have.
Turtle shields are not canonical.
That's right. Wipe them from the wiki. Looks kind of like a heart.
It does.
Aww. I don't know. If I were to tell you that there was a Bulkhead toy called Bulkhead Knuckle, How would you feel about that? Would you want to have a couple bulkhead knuckles?
Probably not, but the RC blade looks cool. Hmm. See, a thing becoming a fist doesn't interest me, but a thing becoming a sword, that's cool.
See, I'm on the opposite end. I think the thing becoming a fist is so much more interesting because it's just so much more blunt. Like, that thing's entire body is going to be used to hit stuff.
But, I don't know, it can't really move on its own. And
hey, you have to mount it. You have to plug, you have to take the little guy and, like you said, stuff your hand into him. Kind of wear him like a glove.
I don't know, it just seems weird.
Flesh boxing.
You know why? Because a fist is a part of a greater thing, whereas a sword is its own whole thing. You have a disembodied fist instead of a whole sword.
It's very Zen mindset about it.
Oh.
Fist is part of the greater whole.
That's right.
The sword is of its own.
It is Transformers Prime.
Yes. By the way, none of this stuff actually is in Transformers Prime. This is just Japan being very Japanese and being crazy in a way that I kind of enjoy. Seth, have you checked out these new arms Microns with bulkhead turning into a fist? Have you got any opinion on these yourself?
No, they're cool. Like, I like the whole arms Micron thing. It's just, like those capsule toy ones. I was a little disappointed because I assumed that they were going to be as kind of elaborate as like the ones that come with the actual figures.
Yeah.
Seem to be, and I thought, like, oh, this is awesome. I'll have a chance to get some of these cool little robots without having to buy the whole packages. And then it didn't work out that way. And it's like, oh, no, I'm stuck with all this crap. but, yeah, like, just about all of these bigger kind of ones, or not bigger, but the more elaborate ones are neat. Like, the whole bulkhead thing is pretty cool looking. Like, I like the fist thing and...
Yeah.
And,
I was thinking about it this morning because these are the kind of things I think about in the morning. But I think one of my biggest toy surprises of 2012, now that we're over halfway through 2012, is that I actually really like Arms Micron for its Microns. And when they announced what Arms Micron was going to be, I was poo-pooing that stuff pretty hardcore because I was like, wow, so unpainted Prime toys with sticker sheets and little mini-cons that I have to build. This sounds stupid. And then I got some, and I've ended up really liking Arms Micron for all its weird little idiosyncrasies. I said it right. and if listeners don't know, if you do want any of the Microns that come with the actual Prime toys but don't want the sticker full Prime toys, the AMW series Arms Micron weapons are all the ones that come with the figures. They're sold on their sprues for like $5 each in a bag. They're kind of neat. I got three of them over in the corner of the room. They turn into a giant sword.
Yay!
Yeah. They are their own thing.
Excellent.
Following the mindset.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, those are some new picture picks. We have one other picture to talk about, which I felt warranted its own little thing here. It is the very first eHobby Cross Transformers Collectors Club exclusive. It is apparently a global New Year's special, which is kind of cool because eHobby always have a New Year's special toy they do, which is eHobby is basically a Japanese kind of, they're the guys who do the official photography in Japan, and so they also get to do their own little limited run exclusives, and often their exclusives are tapping into really weird minutiae of fiction or Transformers history. And they recently partnered up with the Transformers Collectors Club. So what they're doing is they're going to do this G1 box of toys where you get Soundwave and Blaster, Eject Rewind, Ramhorn, Ratbat. There's a lot of debate over whether the orange dinosaur is Dial the Hardcore Rare Dinosaur, who is part of a combiner, or Overkill, the less rare dinosaur that was already done in Encore. If you put logic together, that is very... That's Overkill. If that's actually going to be Dial, I will be incredibly surprised. But the kicker here is they're all shattered glass, which has led to some discussion here and there. And putting aside, like, I'm looking at them as objectively as I can because I'm the kind of person who likes to do that because I'm totally an attorney of some kind. I am really uninterested in the set for one major reason, which is that I realized, after I got Enemy with the Encore Sound Blaster, and when I realized all the combining cassette molds have probably been lost forever, I have absolutely zero interest in even more G1 cassettes. I think at this point we have actually hit saturation on reissues and recolors of G1 cassettes, and I don't need any more. And I don't need another Soundwave. I already have a perfect Shattered Glass Soundwave from this year's BotCon with the unofficial headband that does not suck. And I don't really know who Shattered Glass Blaster is, so I don't really care about him. And a G1 Blaster versus a G1 Soundwave means Blaster's going to be three heads taller than Soundwave. To me, it's completely uninteresting. But I do have a follow-up as to how it is seen as interesting, but I'm going to hold off on that till we talk about it a bit more. Seth, are you excited about this set?
No. this combines two things that neither company can stop themselves from doing. Like, the club just can't stop doing Shattered Glass. It's their favorite thing in the world. And eHobby can't stop doing repaints of G1 toys. It's their favorite thing in the world.
Mm.
So you bring these two companies together, and what else are they going to do? Of course they're going to do Shattered G1 Glass. And man, they're sticking with the headband thing for Soundwave.
I can't wait
to see how the headband plays out.
I'm glad they're sticking with the headband because that's what makes that Soundwave interesting, but I don't have faith in them to be able to actually... Like, if eHobby's doing the headband, it could turn out pretty well, but if it's going to be more of that dental mold $5 with a trading card garbage, I don't really... I don't need more. Did you see that one up on the club store with a limit of two per customer?
Yeah, and I just went, all right, and moved on. And then I watched everybody else talk about it and went, I don't need to add my voice to this. It's being discussed already.
Yeah, I put up a tweet, and that's all I had to do.
One thing that surprises me, though, is the lack of a Shattered Glass Ravage.
That's because, technically, the toy already halfways exists. If you're going to, repurpose your Kiss Play Glit.
But that's a Kiss Play toy. That's not a Shattered Glass toy.
Yeah, I know. But if you're going to like put Repro labels all over it and then start pretending it's someone else,
you won't have to put Repro labels all over it if they made an official one.
That's true.
And they just decided that that's a bad idea and they didn't want to acknowledge it.
Actually, some people have been speculating that that Kiss Play Position box set might actually become harder to find as the vocal Shattered Glass fan base decides that now they really need to get that toy to go with their G1 Shattered Glass Soundwave. You can actually hold it in his chest. And
but who's this glowing hovering guy?
That is Shattered Glass, either Eject or Rewind. I am curious who he is too, because he looks like the most interesting thing there, because he doesn't seem to be affiliated with either of the factions who are at war, and thus... Like, I'll be interested in that toy if it's a cassette who's made of glow-in-the-dark plastic or translucent yellow plastic, because that's the only place left for G1 cassette redecos to go.
If he's bright and shining, I would be guessing, like, a gold vac metal coloring.
I mean, like the Linkin Park ones.
Yeah, Linkin Park Rewind.
Linkin Park.
Is officially Linkin Park part universe. Of Shattered Glass.
Wow.
I don't know, Kryn, as a very outside voice on this thing, just given the info what sparse info we've given you, how does this piece of artwork look to you, of these dudes facing off, and good guy Soundwave?
Which one is Soundwave?
The white one with the headband.
Oh, he needs leg warmers to go with the headband.
Leg warmers?
Yes.
Pink? I vote for pink leg warmers.
Pink leg warmers.
That's 80s fashion.
And, leg warmers. And one of those, like, sweatshirts where the neck is all stretched out, yes. So it could hang off one shoulder.
And he needs to do Dirty Dancing with whoever that is.
That's Evil and Blaster.
And it's cut short, so you can still see his abs.
Now, I got some more info I can share about this, because I did a little bit of digging. Number one, apparently a member of the fandom came up with colors for Shattered Glass Blaster, and what I gathered from a reply on, I forgot if it was on TFW or the AllSpark, is that that is the color scheme that is being used for that blaster, and the dude who came up with it was, I hope it's dude, if I said dude, the person who came up with it, because I'm not sure, was very happy to see their color scheme in place, so congrats to them. And Hydra, who works with eHobby, came on the AllSpark to share some information about the intention of this set, which made things clearer to me. Basically, apparently, here's how it laid it out. The Japanese fandom has been very curious as to what Shattered Glass is for quite a while because they don't get to come to BotCon that often because they're in Japan, and that's a longer trip for them, apparently. So the idea of this set is to formally introduce Shattered Glass to the Japanese fandom, and they figured that the best way to show their first, like, the best way to open up their collaboration with the TF Collectors Club is that, literally, it's because the TFCC is currently known for Shattered Glass, and eHobby is known for doing G1 redecos, so they figured, the best way for us to show that we're collaborating is to take the two things we're most known for and put them together, for better or for worse. Apparently, the VSE is going to majorly play into the packaging and styling of these guys. I forgot if that's a term from classic Japanese G1. I know someone can come in the thread and tell me. Hopefully Protoman or someone else can clue me in onto what VSE might mean. So I see why this is being made. This is definitely actually, like, this is being aimed at the Japanese fan base who have had way less exposure to Shattered Glass than the rest of us had, and who are basically having this whole concept of TFCC and eHobby being introduced to them. We also got some info from Pete Sinclair that the TFCC will be offering some of this set through their store, stateside, and, in response to some of the, stuff in the thread, Pete Sinclair did mention that apparently Shattered Glass will have nothing to do with BotCon 2013. BotCon 2013 will have more gap fillers as the subscription service figures were considered to be, and that can be considered your first hint as to what BotCon 2013 is going to be. So, good news, everyone! No Shattered Glass in BotCon 2013. And there's also been a lot of debate I've seen of, this is the thing that kind of bummed me out. Number one, there's people who it's primarily on the AllSpark who were going like, it's so weird how all those other forums don't like Shattered Glass. And then, you know, there's people who are getting really, really just like, I'm tired of Shattered Glass. And I'm starting to see this pattern, which kind of bums me out, which is Shattered Glass is starting to gain some of those people who violently like it, which is that they want to make sure that you know that you're screwing up somehow if you don't like it. And we've all seen that many times. I do that to people whenever they express a dislike of Omega Supreme, so I'm certainly not innocent. But that is a great way to not convince people to like something that you like. FYI. I'm just throwing it out there. As for this set, I'm really curious to see how it does. I know it's attracting a lot of interest from people who just want more G1 cassettes in different colors. I used to be there, but they recently put out a reissue of Sound Blaster with a bright orange version of Rat Bat and a bright red and blue and silver version of the dude who looks like Rumble and Frenzy. I'm done with G1 cassettes. I don't need any more. Not unless if they don't combine and if they're not made of weird kooky plastics that do crazy stuff, I have no more interest in G1 cassettes, and I have even less interest in yet another reissue of G1 Soundwave. So I'm very happy to say I have no interest in this set whatsoever.
What if it was a cassette that actually played?
If it transformed and played? Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Mm.
Maybe.
That would be cool.
Yeah, I'm surprised. Well, I'm pretty sure some third party has been trying to figure that out just to see if they could do it. Or some fan has been trying to put that kind of thing together. That seems like the first thing a fan who scratch builds toys would try to do. It's like, can I make a working microcassette built into a transforming robot?
And it would be Linkin Park, wouldn't it?
Yep. Did you know Linkin Park is putting out a Linkin Park sponsored Soundwave reissue?
No, but you mentioned them earlier.
Yeah, it's Soundwave and four of his cassettes all plated in gold chrome, because that's as imaginative as Linkin Park was able to get.
Ooh. Crawling in my chrome?
That's right. So, we'll hopefully see more of this thing as we get closer to, you know, New Year's. And certainly, like, if this is up your alley in any way, I'm happy for you. Because, I mean, this is a new kind of thing. It's Shattered Glass G1 toys, and it's more cassettes. And I know there are audiences for all of that. So, you know, you guys enjoy yourselves. Let's move on to a listener question.
Yay!
Because I don't really have anything else to say about this. we got a listener question from CNC Brawl 56, who says, "Hello, Vangelis and crew. I had a blast listening to your gays recordings of BotCon. Totally makes me want to go next year. I have a couple of questions for you. Number one, colon, How do you think Hasbro would be able to make a DeLorean or a DeLorean look like a Transform? Wait, how do you think they'd be able to make a DeLorean, period, by building one? Or a DeLorean look like a Transformer? What would the character be, an existing or a new one? Would the character be an existing one or a new one? Do you think they could add the element of time travel? How would you feel about all of this? I met a person cosplaying as a transforming DeLorean at TFCon. So
really?
I think it would totally work. There has been a DeLorean Transformer who is a MicroMaster, so you can hardly tell it was a DeLorean. I think it was a DeLorean. And I'd love to see time travel worked in. There's a time traveling Transformer. He's called Heinrad. He turns into a Tanuki. He's got giant testicles. Just turn Heinrad into a DeLorean with giant testicles. You're set. Seth, how you feel about a DeLorean Transformer?
Well, DeLoreans are rad looking, so I wouldn't be against it. But unless it was the Back to the Future DeLorean, then I don't know if people realize this, but just regular old DeLoreans aren't capable of time travel on their own.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I know, it's crazy, but
why do people collect DeLoreans then? What's the point?
I don't know. Apparently, Mr. DeLorean, I forget the guy's first name, but like
John DeLorean.
I think it's something like that, wasn't it? The guy that invented the car, wasn't he like
John or Jim or
John, Jimmy, Jim DeLorean, Jim.
It's a piece of Americana. One of you guys should know about it.
So apparently that dude was all hopped up on cocaine. So maybe he thought they could travel time, but
George Washington DeLorean.
George Washington DeLorean.
Yeah, he invented the DeLorean that chopped down cherry trees, and he couldn't tell a lie, and then he freed the slaves, and that's pretty much American history.
Of the Michigan DeLoreans.
Yeah, that's pretty much how America went. He flipped off the King of England, and that's how we became a separate country.
Yes.
And he totally laid down a sick patch of rubber on the king's front yard, so threw some empty beer cans in his bushes, and that's how America became a separate country.
I want to read your history book.
I just learned history from these guys I podcast with.
Dr. Seth history.
That must be why we fled after we started to set fire to the White House all that time ago, because you busted out like his ancestor Apollo DeLorean.
Yeah, well, you heard the engine revving up, and you were like, oh no, the jig's up, eh?
Let's get out of here.
And then he ice skated away.
Yeah. Rocket-powered ice skates.
Yeah, anyway, so I don't think DeLorean necessarily has to be a time traveler. But, you know, whatever. Like, it might be cool if there was, like, this Transformer that was a time traveler that wasn't an Autobot or a Decepticon, because they're from, like, some point in the future where none of that matters. But, now we're just making up fan fiction.
Alternity should have had a DeLorean. That would have been so perfect. Like, for how crazy Alternity's fiction was, a DeLorean Alternity Transformer would have been a great way to end that line.
But if there was a DeLorean Transformer, it should be a new character and, like, call him Gullwing or something like that.
Doc.
Well, no, because that's what they call those doors on the DeLorean, or Gullwing-style doors. So just call it. Just name the character Gullwing.
Gullwing?
Yeah.
Everyone
this should have been
Doc
a listener question for an Aaron episode, because he probably knows what Steve DeLorean's name is. And
Aaron's probably chewing his lip really hard, or like right down to the bone right now.
You like, idiot!
You could have wikied it.
Non-neutronium fluid. Ba-dum-tsh.
Newtonian.
Yeah, non-neutronious. Corinne, how do you feel about the idea of a DeLorean or DeLorean look-alike Transformer?
Only if it was one of those DeLorean limos. Have you ever seen a picture of those?
No.
They, like, took, I don't know, four DeLoreans and dissected them and smushed them together into a limo.
How much time could that thing travel through at once?
Oh,
all the time.
And you could have a little
It could
mini
be
bar.
In three different time periods at once. It's amazing.
Yes. So.
That is way cooler than those stupid Hummer limousines I've seen.
Oh, those are terrible.
Those things are ugly.
SUV ones. Blech.
In fact, they are garbo.
Oh,
man. I learned that word from a classmate of mine.
Oh.
Means garbage.
Yes.
All right.
So, DeLorean limo. Go!
All right. DeLorean limo transformer. Bring in that GoBot character with the top hat. It'll be good. Question number two, colon. What if you suddenly find out that the car you own or some other device or vehicle you use on a daily basis was a transformer all along?
That's like my dream.
This question was made for you. How would the relationship be between the two of you, taking into account all your previous experiences with him or her? Like if you were mad with your car or changed them to your liking, how would they feel or gave them a name they didn't like? Also, why are they hiding with you? How did you figure out who they were? I look forward to hearing your answers. Reckon rule. Satisfyingly good. Click. Crin, you seem incredibly excited to answer this question, so why don't you just go right ahead?
I have a Chevy Impala that I adore. I named it Opelio. I think it probably wouldn't like that name. I have no idea what gender it is. It seems to be very gender neutral to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it would probably be like, why haven't you given me an oil change in a while? Been 2,000 miles since the 3,000 miles you're supposed to wait. And I'm like, well, because it's annoying. But that's a really neat question.
I like the, you know, how progressive that is for you to decide to not give your Transformer car a gender, given that there's a heavy propensity for Transformers fans to make sure that their Transformer character is male or female.
It's
that's a step ahead.
It's beige. I associate zero gender with
it's
beige.
It's
like some kind of really neutral color, and it's just, I don't know. But so, I love my car.
What's the basis of the name?
Opelio? Oh, that's like, what was that show called? Deadliest Catch?
Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask if you named it Opelio after the snow crabs.
Yes. There was one year, like, I don't know, 4 years ago, I was watching a lot of Deadliest Catch, and I watched all of the episodes that had to do with the regular kind of crab that they get. And then
Chang.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. And then they said, our next season is going to be for the Opelio crab. And when I heard that word, I was like, oh, that's a good name for my car.
Maybe your car would turn into just like a robot crab.
Then I will ride it to work.
That'd be awesome.
Then I could pop the tires of all the people who drive too slow and then like pick them up and throw them.
Put them on top of your car like
a shell.
Style. Yeah.
Like a hard shell.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a joke.
I hate that name.
Ha ha. Yeah, it's no good. Anyway.
Oh, you own that question.
Seth, do you have a car?
No, not so much.
Oh.
Yeah, I love Deadliest Catch. Now I'm just thinking of Deadliest Catch and how it's going to be a long time before the next season. But I chose Badass. but if suddenly found out some device I owned, that'd be awesome if, this is going to spoil what we got this week, but if my Fitbit was a tiny little robot that
was
like
about to suggest that
that would like yell at me like a drill instructor and be like, stop slacking, slacker, and drop and give me 20 and
put that cheeseburger down.
Would it sound like Arlie Emery or whatever?
Yeah, well, that might be a little too on the nose. Maybe just generic, like slightly southern sounding gruff army man, like, hey, scumbag, what are you doing there? No, it would sound like Sarge from Red vs. Blue.
Yes! I'm wearing a Sarge t-shirt right now.
Go get me some headlight fluid, scumbag!
I need your corpse for my plans!
You're wearing a Sarge t-shirt and you got a poster up there.
Yeah.
And you added word bubbles to it of suck it blue, Tucker, I have the glowy sword.
I like Red vs. Blue.
That Red versus Blue is on a long list of things that I want to watch sometime that I haven't watched yet.
I
have the first.
It's so great.
Some amount of seasons. I have it.
Ooh.
And if nothing else, you should watch the PSAs on YouTube. They're very funny, and they're like 5 minutes self-contained. You don't need to know anything else. They're just very funny.
I know that Red versus Blue became like a very transcendent piece of media.
Oh, yes.
Like it went well beyond what it was when it started.
It also helped to forward machinima in the public mind.
Yeah. And there are a lot of Halo toys that are red and or blue.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Halo toys. We just saw a bunch today.
There was
today.
Even an exclusive Griffball.
Yes.
Figure that they did.
Yeah.
And that's where Griffball came. Griffball is now an official mode in Halo multiplayer. And it was like a joke that was in Red versus Blue.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah, I got to check that show out.
And they have a cool podcast. The Rooster Teeth podcast is great.
I always liked the Rooster Teeth guys. I remember they briefly, this is going to get me down for a sec, they were briefly doing some of the marketing for City of Heroes a couple years ago, and they came up with some hilarious commercials.
Mm-hmm.
And so we all, those of us who were sticking with City of Heroes, we very briefly had a rapport with Rooster Teeth, and it was really fun. City of Heroes is dead, we just found out.
Not
on November 30th.
It's dying.
Well, it's dead when the company that runs it says, hey, guess what? Hey, guess what, guys? FYI, we're going to close your game in 2 months. Bye. It's like, oh, man.
You have
excited morning. Now that Giant Bomb's probably going to do all kinds of crazy City of Heroes stuff because
I hope so.
They seem to really like it when MMOs get shut down.
Because that's when MMOs let it all go. And slight tangent. I feel so bad for the guys at Paragon Studios because some of those dudes have been through mass studio cullings, not once, but like 3 or 4 times of just like mass layoffs. And the team was whittled down to at times like 5 people working on this entire MMO. Mm. So hopefully those of us who are still somewhat connected to that game can give them a good send off when the time comes. And those of you who hate City of Heroes can now start making post-mortem City of Heroes jokes. And those of you who try to sell me on DC Universe Online, just go stand over there in the corner. Seriously. Just don't. I think the most obvious answer I could give for this question would be a device, that being my camera. Because I use my camera for everything. So.
What about your microphone with the fuzzy thing?
That's the new one. That's the Sidekick robot.
Oh, okay.
I mean, the real easy answer to this is my camera, and it is the subtitles. And it's a camera robot. Blam. That is our relationship. Antagonistic, violent, cruel, and camaraderie. There you go. Series made.
Healthy relationship.
Yeah. So thank you for your question, CNC Brawl 56. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to intermiss, refill our coffers with liquids and licorice. I am really enjoying these things. Klena Zute Drops. They're a salty licorice candy that is perfect, and we found them over here in upstate, and they are I've already gone through an entire package of them. They're fantastic. We'll be back with what we got this week, ladies and gentlemen, so stay tuned for that. Hold on to your pants and don't get a hankering for a cankering.
What?
Don't get a hank. It rhymes.
Oh, I'm giving him a look like what?
From our intermission, we're gonna talk about things we bought with our money. That didn't rhyme at all.
Boo.
I used to be able to do that. Improv songs. I did it once. That's what I mean by used to.
Mm.
It was really cool. Mm. We were doing an improv game. It was like you're in a musical. And so whenever the guy at the front said, sounds like it's time for a song, you had to just come up with a song. You had to roll into a song of whatever you were talking about.
Roll out.
It's fun. So we're going to talk about what we got this week. We're going to start off with Transformers that we got this week. Mr. Seth Buzzard, do you have any Transformers that are new to you these last weeks or twos?
Unfortunately, no.
Aww.
This was a very slim week on any new stuff. Just one of those dry spells. There's mm-hmm. not much out there. I have a bunch of stuff on pre-order. Like mm-hmm. all those iGear Mini Warrior things, but just waiting on them coming in.
Yeah.
And there's some other stuff in my BBTS pile of loot that I really want to get my hands on, but I'm waiting for those pre-orders to come in so I can just ship it all at once. So it's like every now and then I check back and go, maybe I just didn't get the email that's available. No, it's I want that Robbie the Robot now, though.
Well, I did get some Transformers. I just realized that this is the week I would talk about stuff I got for my birthday, which happened last Saturday. So I got some Transformers. I got some Transformers Prime Arms Micron stuff, actually. I got the aforementioned Dark Matter Caliber. I haven't built it yet, but it's three little animals. It's a crab, a crocodile, and a bird thing. And they all turn into melee weapons or can combine together into a big-ass sword. And also in that same box, I got Terrorcon Bumblebee, which is the Aeon store exclusive Bumblebee that was done up in purple and black to look like he's a Dark Energon-infused zombie. And he comes with Soundwave's little scorpion Micron that turns into one of Soundwave's tentacles. So the idea is that that Micron is made of Dark Energon and infected Bumblebee by latching onto him and injecting Dark Energon into his systems. It looks really cool, and I haven't put it together yet either, so I don't have much to add about it. And also from my brother, I got a whack of IDW Transformers trade paperbacks, so I am now caught up, sort of. I had not read any Transformers comics since that whole miniseries with Galvatron that was drawn with kind of crappy artwork by that guy called Ulysses, whose art would go from, like, okay to oh my god, like, from page to page. So starting from there, all the way up through Chaos, into the first volumes of the trades for More Than Meets the Eye and Robots in Disguise, I spent an entire evening reading through all of that in one shot, because it was really fun. I mean, this can't be spoilers now, because this actually happened, like, probably a year or two ago. I'm so happy that they gave some goddamn comeuppance to IDW Spike Witwicky, because that guy was a prick, and I really didn't like that character, and I'm glad that they rolled him into being pretty much in a they all called him out on it, and they booted him out of the comic book, so thank you. I'm really enjoying where the comics have gone. Because it was the trades, I've only actually read the first three issues of More Than Meets the Eye, but I'm really happy, and I've got a big whack of trade paperbacks on my bookshelf now in Toronto.
I like that whack is a unit of measurement.
It is in Canada. We actually pronounce it whack.
Whack.
But I'm trying to make things easier for you guys to catch on to, because I know we have different dialects.
How wonderful of you to do this.
Basically, a whack is kind of like a unit where you look at, you know, a bunch of detritus that's chilling out on your floor, and you can measure it in whacks.
You said detritus correctly, so.
I know.
When you go to Tim Hortons and just ask for a whack of Timbits, you get a bag. They just hand you a bag, and that's what's in it.
We got pre-made whacks. It helps to keep the detritus down.
You can't say it right and then say it wrong two sentences later.
I know what you're talking about.
What? I'm going to whack you.
Ow!
Yes. Best episode ever.
All you need is a female whacking. Whack, whack.
A female whacking?
Whacking you. Whack.
Someone's going to take that out of context.
Yeah, that's why I stopped saying the...
My natural impulse was to follow that by saying that's what she said, but it actually was what she said, so...
Sorry.
We don't know how to proceed now.
You broke the show. You broke the... That's what happens when you let girls in.
That's why it's a boys' clubhouse.
Yeah, no girls allowed. Just see the sign.
Only females.
You got your sign wrong.
I also almost bought Transformers a few times up here. Or I guess down here, technically. I've seen some of the new Cyberverse stuff, pretty much everything that isn't Ultra Magnus, and I've almost bought it a few times. I've been hemming and hawing. I saw $20 versions of the Cyberverse vehicles, like the Jackhammer. Almost bought it. I was like, yeah, maybe I might buy it. I saw Voyager Starscream for $20 and was might buy it. So as far as Transformers go, that's all I've got this week. I haven't actually bought any of that Prime stuff. I might, but if I do, it's going to be something I talk about in 216 at this point. Kryn, did you buy any Transformers-related merchandise this past little while?
I don't think so.
Hmm.
I think I watched you hem and haw.
Okay.
And I, yeah, that's it.
I'm trying to remember if we saw anything else. But no, I think that's about it for Transformers. Yeah, it's a bit of a drought period. I wasn't sure if I was going to see any new stuff down here. I know that people are now on the prowl looking for Masterpiece Thundercracker. I know that Cyberverse Ultra Magnus has been seen in this state, but we have not yet spotted one. And apparently in Canada, the GDO exclusive showed up while I was away. So I've pestered a couple Canadians, and by that I mean I yelled panickedly on Twitter, and Random Factor said, if I see them, I'll let you know, because I really need a wheelie. A wheelie.
Wheelie. Cool whip.
Yeah, cool whip wheelie.
Well, that would have been awesome if when you asked Kryn if she had bought any Transformers, she started talking about something that she had, like, gotten you for Christmas and you didn't know about yet. Like, yeah, I got this really rare and valuable thing that you want. Ah!
I got you a gold-plated fist that turns into Megatron that turns into a gun. That's also a real gun. And fire silver bullets.
Here, look. See how it works. Pfft. Oh, no, I'm dead.
Fire silver bullets to protect you from the werewolves.
That's right.
Because if there's one thing I know about upstate New York, it is lousy with werewolves.
It's full of werewolves. Megatron werewolves.
Apparently, I am not to go to downtown upstate New York.
Well, that's where the werewolves are.
They're all named Jacob.
None of them have shirts.
They're all strangely stereotypical. But I don't know how.
So what did you buy that wasn't a Transformer this week?
Are you segueing us into the off-topic?
Yes.
You're taking the wheel on this podcast? Yes. You're just rolling us in?
Let's go.
All right. Well, on my birthday, I got some non-Transformer stuff. I got some really cool shirts. I like nice collared shirts. I got some Zute Drop. That's how I found out that you guys have Zute Drop here. I got some really boss high-end olive oil. Mm-hmm. Like this is the olive oil you don't really cook with. This is the olive oil you put a little drop on a plate and then dip some bread in it. All of that stuff came from my current co-podcaster, Kryn.
Mm-hmm.
A really cool purple tie as well.
It had skulls on it.
Yeah. A couple of graphic novels in addition to the Transformers ones. I forgot the author's name now, but the main one is about, it's a bunch of short stories about a half Asian dude, and it's the art looks a lot like Ghost World, if you've ever read Ghost World. It's not the same artist, but just a very similar style. And my mom sent over a package from Amazon.de. It was the new Oomph album, which I'm really enjoying, and it was a DVD set of The Little Vampire, and that is a show. It was a joint German-Canadian production that aired on YTV. It was made in 1985, aired on YTV until 1987, and I caught some of it when I was 3 years old, and I still remember seeing it now and then on YTV and being really confused as to what it was, because it was a 13-episode serialized piece, and I only ever caught bits of the middle, so I never knew it was happening. But it has a really amazing opening theme song that I went and tracked down. I tracked down the MySpace of the actor who sang the theme song, and it was the only song in his MySpace from 2010. So I ripped it. It's called They Can See in the Dark, and it's basically, he was a David Bowie lookalike rocker back in the mid-80s, and his song sounds like a dude trying to jump on the David Bowie wagon. So it's all kind of ethereal, and he sings in a deep voice, and he basically says, they can see in the dark vampires over and over again.
It's art.
Man, The Little Vampire, let me tell you about that. That was the guy who was Alfred in the original two Batman movies, or the original four Batman movies, technically. What's his name? Is it Peter Gould? I have no idea. He played Alfred in the Keaton Batman movie. He's in this series as Uncle Ludwig the Vampire, and it's pretty fantastic. And then coming down here, I picked up some stuff. I found, this is depressing, kind of. I finally saw a hardcore clearanced Thunder Tank from the 2011 Thundercats show, a show and toy line that suffered a very ignoble end, and I saw this one beaten up, unopened Thunder Tank in the clearance aisle of Walmart for $10, and I felt like I had to buy it. It was like taking in a broken puppy. And when I was going to buy it, me and Kryn heard these kids run behind us, and then we heard this slow shuffling gait a few seconds later, and whoever had that slow shuffling gait then said in this voice, and I quote, "I'm old and I'm fat, I'm not running." And I tried not to laugh really hard, because I was like, that sounds like Walmart itself.
I said, welcome to American Walmart.
That was amazing. I'm old and I'm fat, I'm not running.
Not running.
And then also at that Walmart, I found some toys from the new Ninja Turtles line. These are ones that are not out in Canada yet, and I had to get them after I saw what they do. And after I saw the completely whacked out head sculpts on them. They're the sound effects Ninja Turtles. I got Leonardo and Donatello, and these two you can pull back on an arm or a leg and they make noises. Mikey and Raph, you just pull back on either arm. I'm kind of thinking of getting them too. Because these guys' gimmick is that they make a noise when you pull one of their limbs back and it springs forward, but if you hold the limb back, they keep making the middle of the noise until you let go. So ideally this would work if it was like hi-ya or something like that, because they'd be going like hi-ya or something like that. But the way the voice samples were recorded, it doesn't work quite as well. I'll try to play you an example here from Donatello.
Pizza!
So he said pizza.
Pia.
That one kind of works, but then there's...
No!
What the hell, man?
Problems!
Why is everything he says so... stretched out and take him forever?
Like, because I'm holding I'm holding his limb. I could just do this.
Oh. Okay.
I'm invisible!
But so he can say no problem, or he can say...
Pizza!
So you basically can have him drag out whatever he's saying, and everything they picked is a really awkward place for someone to be dragging out a sentence. Like, Leonardo says, "We're ninjas!" Or like... Donatello says, "I'm invincible," and like none of it makes sense as being something someone would actually draw out in what they're saying. And so I was thinking, like, maybe I should just get these two and leave it at that. But I saw Michelangelo in a Target today, and I tried him out, and he has even more stupid ones where he's like, "Hi three." Leonardo has some really dumb ones. Hang on, I gotta pop open Leonardo. Hang on. I'm gonna show you some Leonardo magic.
Surface time!
Surface time! Where's his arm?
We're ninjas. No mercy. Hi!
So I kind of just held him like this for like a minute in the store.
Until I started punching him.
Yeah.
Is that all you got?
You see what I mean? Who would hold the "you" in "that all you got"?
I would have thought that just whatever the first syllable was would be the thing that dragged out when you held the limb down.
That's the best thing, is because he kind of belts out the front of the sentence. It's like, "that all you got?" Hang on, where's another one? Imagine this is him, like, running towards the ladder because he started saying surface time too early. It's like, climbing up the ladder. And a little clank afterwards.
And they're also really, like, not delicate, but easily, the limbs are easily displaced. So if
the legs suck.
If it just happens to be lying on a surface.
Yeah, it's basically, there's two buttons on the inside of the torso, and the reaction is the button pressed in or not? The arms work okay. Like, it kind of... I don't know why you'd say that when you swing a sword, but there you go. But when you use the legs just don't work, because you can't... That's all it does.
We're ninjas.
Well, what I meant...
And then when you put him down...
Is that all you got?
Because when you put him down, the leg button gets activated.
Yeah, but what I was getting to was if it happens to be covered with, like, a blanket or something, and you don't know it's there, and then you move the surface it's on top of, and it makes a frickin' noise and scares you.
And these are really shrill, too. So when you move that blanket, and all of a sudden Rob Paulsen as Donatello is screaming, "I'm invincible!" You know, like, you're... It can really mess you up.
I almost threw the toy across the room.
It's fantastic. So these light and sound...
Well, there's not you don't these... yell that in bed anyway.
I'm invincible?
Yeah. Every night for me.
I
get into bed, I yell I'm invincible, and click off the light.
Just pass out.
Well, that's how you make sure the monster under the bed knows not to mess with you.
That's right.
You gotta let them know who's the boss.
So my goal while I'm here is there's a Shredder in this series,
mm-hmm.
and he's got Kevin Michael Richardson voice clips in him. That's who plays Bulkhead.
Okay.
I want a toy of Bulkhead's voice actor in Shredder's voice trying to be menacing, but with that gimmick. I bet you one of his phrases is like, "Turtle soup." And I want to make, like, I don't know, I want to try to make little sketches of just these action figures trying to speak to each other in this fashion, and just imagine that's the new Ninja Turtles show. So everyone has this weird form of Tourette's where they just drag out a single word in the middle of the sentence. Anyway, this is some of the best gimmick toys I've seen in a long time, because they're almost, like, really intentionally stupid.
The face sculpts are terrible.
Oh god, Donatello's face sculpt.
Eyes point in different directions.
Let me find a picture of this. I know that Trent, the Rainer, he tweeted pictures of all these guys the moment he found them, because their head sculpts are terrifying. The best way I can explain it is, like, Leonardo looks like he's getting ready to do something to someone who doesn't want that done to them. Like, he looks like... like this really huge grin on his face. It doesn't look pleasant at all. And then we got Leonardo here.
Look at the pupils. They go in different directions.
I know. Oh, wait, that's not it. Why didn't that copyright? Hang on. Copy link address. You've got to see this. There you go, Seth. Check out that head sculpt. He's missing part of his front teeth, and his eyes are pointing in different directions. He looks really happy.
Yeah, I remember you tweeting this now and thinking, like, what the hell? Why is Don Gaptooth?
He's invincible.
Why is the pupil of the one eye not centered in his iris? It's not that he's cockeyed and his eyes are pointing in different direction. Like, his whole pupil is misaligned to his iris.
He's had a few too many, too much, he's had too much science.
It's kind of looks like a crazy Mike Tyson caricature.
Good thing they don't have ears.
They just eat other people's ears. They're protected from it, those turtles.
He probably already ate their ears.
That's right. But yeah, this is pretty much, I think that's all the off-topic stuff I got this week. We saw some Ben 10 Omniverse toys, and, That's the new show that Derek White and pretty much the entire animated crew is working on. They had this thing. It was like this wristwatch that Ben 10 Omniverse uses.
The Omnitrix.
Yeah.
That's the name of it.
And it was actually a pretty cool looking toy. It had this touchscreen gimmick where it didn't have a button you push. It was a very touch sensitive surface.
Mm-hmm.
And you could, like, run your hand over it and make all these different noises. I kind of wanted it, but it was $25. And I was like, I don't even know what this show is.
I don't even know what it's called.
I wanted to get it just to make Derek sign it at the next convention. I wanted to run up to him and start pushing it and yelling Ben 10 at him until he signed it or had me removed. That's all the off-topic stuff I got this week. Seth, did you get anything off-topic this week?
I got a little bit at the last minute. excuse me. So I go into Kmart, and I'm looking around, and it's like, yep, all the same stuff that's been here for months. And then I go down the Lego aisle. Hey, what's up, Aaron? And I see behind some Lego kits on the shelf, little pouches that are face down in a little stack kind of hidden behind everything. I'm like, those look like minifigure bags. And I grabbed them all. They're Wave 8 bags. Somebody hid 4 Wave 8 bags behind all this other stuff. I bet these are good ones.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found another one on a shelf, and I went, I'm gonna get this one too. And then I actually found the display down at the end cap, and there were only 5 left. Mm-hmm. I'm just gonna get all 10 of these, because I don't have any wave 8, so the odds of getting doubles are reduced. And I always feel awkward feeling the bags in the store, because it's like, what's that dude doing there? I'm like,
yeah,
crinkle.
I have a code list for the Halo Mega Bloks, and I still feel weird, like, rifling through the Halo Mega Bloks at Walmart, because I'm, like, pulling out all these little bags and checking this little, like, imprinted code, and it's right in the main aisle of the store, and there are constantly people walking past me, and I'm sitting there holding a phone, looking at a code list, rifling through little pouches, and I look like a lunatic.
You should just pretend you work there, and you're restocking. There you go.
And then in feeling the bags, I'm like, I kind of have like this, I like the 1,000-yard stare going, because I'm trying to visualize what I'm feeling. Because I'm like, okay, what's this? What's the? And so I'm like staring off into space, like trying to build an image of my mind from what my fingertips are feeling. It's like, okay, those are the legs. Kind of crinkle, crinkle, crinkle. Okay, this is, okay, that's just the head. Crinkle, crinkle. All right, that's the body, because there's a crinkle, crinkle. Okay, now this is a shape. This is a shape. What is this shape? Shape, it's kind of round. It's kind of, okay, it must be like a hat or a hair piece. And I'm like trying to figure out what's in it. And so I didn't want to deal with it. So I just grabbed all the bags.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to buy all the bags. And did pretty well. I only got 2 doubles. So oh, I got nice. 8 individuals and doubles of 2 of them. So just running it down, of the doubles, I got 2 of the cowgirl.
Mm-hmm.
And I got 2 of, like, the club DJ. And then I got, like, the weird bat monster guy. I got the fairy, which has transparent blue wings and a transparent pink wand.
Ooh.
And a little cloth fairy skirt. She comes with a lot of accessories.
She's the female.
Yeah. There's a couple of females in here. I found a picture of the series. That Batman thing looks super cool.
Yeah, and his arms are sculpted to be sticking up like that. And it looks really weird when you put his arms in any other position. So you see a picture of the series then. So when I name these dudes off. So like you see the DJ guy comes with a record and a record sleeve. Let's see, what else did I get? I got the Shakespearean actor guy holding the skull.
Oh yeah, there. Does he have that look on his face where he's got one eyebrow up?
Yeah, well, he actually has 2 looks on his face.
Ooh.
He's one of the minifigs that has 2 faces on the head. So you just turn around the face you want and then put the hair back on. And the other face, he's like kind of freaked out. Like it looks like he's going, but I like the eyebrow up kind of smirky, like, I'm a serious actor. I like that face better. Then let's see. I also got, the evil robot, which is like the star of the show. What's cool with this robot, like, because they used this robot design before, like, in a very early wave, but it wasn't an evil robot. Like, it was lighter colored. This one's mostly black. But when you take, like, the bucket head off, because the bucket head is so goofy. It's, like, goofy robot. And then when you take the bucket head off, there's, like, serious scary robot face underneath.
Ooh.
So it's, like, actually this hardcore scary robot with a dopey bucket helmet.
The bucket helmet's how he just gets into buildings so people don't suspect him. Like, oh, it's one of those dopey robots. He takes it off and starts eating people's throats.
And then I got, like, the Bavarian-looking guy with the lederhosen and pretzel.
I was going to ask if that's actually a pretzel.
Yeah, huge victory. I was like, yes, I got the Bavarian-looking guy. And then the last one was the, like, the English businessman-looking guy with the bowler.
Oh, I was going to ask if you got that
newspaper.
Guy.
Yeah.
Stockbroker so, man.
Yeah, so, like, those were a couple that I was really hoping for. I wouldn't mind getting the whole wave.
Got
all of wave 7. And it's like, yeah, the cheerleader, but, you know, whatever.
Taco Santa.
Yeah. Santa, the pirate and alien are cool. Like, I really wanted the deep sea diver, but
He looks so happy. He's my favorite.
Yeah. I like the alien man.
Yeah, he's good too.
And the conquistador.
Yeah.
And then the football player and female skier, because those are just the only ones we haven't mentioned yet. But, yeah, I was pretty happy that I only ended up with two doubles. Awesome. Out of just grabbing a bunch of packs without really investigating them.
And wrecking somebody's hidden operation of trying to keep them buried in the store.
They should have done a better job.
I like the idea that I almost like the idea of, like, not so much you're buying them because you want them, but you're buying them because you uncovered the operation. And it's like, well, I've got to make you pay now.
Well, I wanted them, and two, I was operating under the assumption that they had felt the bags and went, oh, these are ones that I want to come back for, so that's why they were hidden.
Yeah.
Because why else would you hide them?
Weirdness. Pack ratting.
I wish there was a way for me to have kept those four pouches separate from all the others when I bought them, so I could have, like,
known
exactly which four it was. I'm going to assume one of them was the robot, because, of course, everybody wants that one.
Yeah.
But, and then the other kind of off-topic thing, and it's not really a toy, but I've been getting a lot of hardware-y kind of stuff and bringing that up, so I'm just going to go ahead with this. So I have become motivated to get in better shape.
Mm-hmm.
Gog Dog, his eating better and exercising was hugely inspirational to that. Like, how much weight he had lost between BotCons kind of blew my mind. I was like, holy crap, dude, you did it. Like, congrats. And then other things going on pushed me over the top, and I was like, okay, fine, I'm just going to do it. So, like, I haven't had sodas in, like, 2 weeks. I've only had dessert once. I haven't been in a fast food place. I used to sneak into fast food places, like, at least twice a week. Mm-hmm. I haven't at all. I bought dumbbells, like, 10 years ago, and I think I used them once. I've been using them 3 to 4 times a week now for the last 2 weeks. Things are happening. Physical changes are occurring.
Excellent.
And then I decided to get a Fitbit, because it seems like that's what nerdy, geeky people that start getting into fitness do, is to get a Fitbit, because it's like, this is a technology gizmo gadget, and so I could still be nerdy about exercise. So that just came today. So just before the show started, I finished setting up and installing it, but I haven't actually used it for anything yet, so...
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to having that in my pocket from now on.
And you went for blazing blue over punky pink?
Is it pink? I thought it was plum.
Punky plum?
Yeah. I got blue because I'm a boy, and that's the boy color one.
I'm not a female.
I like blue.
No, you like plum.
There's no reason to assign...
that's the female color.
No.
That is the color for the female.
You have to send a picture before, and then they send you the color, the appropriate color.
What if you look androgynous?
Then they send you the gray one.
Well, it's a naked picture that you have to send. I didn't want to have to talk about it. But
that's why I don't have a Fitbit yet, because I'm bashful.
Oh. Yeah.
As much as I want to demystify my sleep cycle.
Yeah, that's an odd phrase. It's on the website.
Yeah, but it's pretty neat, like, how it tracks, like, tons of stuff. And there's an iPhone app, too. I'm going to have to download that. So you could type in, like, when you eat, keep your little calorie log and stuff. And then you get pie charts and graphs and all that stuff, and there's, like, if you get one, then we could, like, friend each other on the site thing, and you could compare your progress against your friends, and it adds all that, like, social media, internet-y, techie stuff that is appealing to our ilk.
Oh, wow. So we could compare sleep patterns.
Yeah.
Be like, how many times did you wake up?
I drank a lot of water before I went to bed.
I only woke up 12 times.
I have a kidney problem. I don't like to talk about it.
Yeah.
You talk about everything when you join the Fitbit Brotherhood.
Yeah, brother. How many times you pee every night, brother?
I have graphs.
Brother, what color is your Fitbit? It better be blue.
Yo, bro. Blue is for bros, bro. Fist bump me. Fitbit with your bro. Fitbit in your hand.
That's the extra step you add in. Fist bump me.
That's one of the charts, like fist bumps.
Fitbit bro bumps.
Yeah, Fitbit bro bumps, and it tells you how many calories you burn doing it.
0.002. Yes!
Yeah, bro, that was for you! That's cool. Yeah. I like the idea, even just the sleep tracking thing, I think sounds really cool. Because I like the idea of tracking sleep patterns. It's fun.
I like the idea of a device that records your dreams, but nobody's invented that yet.
I'd love that.
That would be scary. If you're getting a pink one.
I'm a boy.
You shouldn't assign gender to colors. It's nothing to do with biology.
It has everything to do with alliteration.
It's light and physics and photons.
It's alliteration. Boy, blue.
No. How many languages does that work in?
Female plum.
Female plum. Boom. It alliterates. Because PH sounds like F.
Yeah.
That's right, bro.
Totally, bro.
We told her.
Boo.
Put her in her place.
You're getting a pink one now.
Yeah. Maybe next time she'll just go make you a sandwich instead of opening her mouth.
Oh.
What's funny is, if she decides to hit somebody, it's going to be me.
I know. That's what makes
Ow!
It. Yes. Best episode.
Is that the hit?
Right? Yeah, that's that huge spike
like
in the waveform.
Spike in the waveform. Even our evil laughter is not that big.
No.
I actually feel bad that I keep saying it's the best episode ever when Gog's not here.
He's here in spirit, also slapping Vengeance.
Yeah, he's out there doing the big move.
And,
it is a great decision, I think.
We'll all go visit him.
Yeah.
We'll crash at his place. Hey, we got you this little blue Fitbit thing. Please
stay
with
let
you?
Us sleep here.
We didn't get you the
Just
pink
walk
one.
In, throw the Fitbit on the floor. Just go sleep in his bed.
Not mine, right?
Use this to track out while you sleep on your own couch. Like, you don't even stop walking. You just say that as you're walking through the house and just go straight into his bedroom and close the door.
He's like, who the hell is she? Meaning me.
Not your business. Fitbit.
Who's that female?
She's going to be sitting on the bed. Did you get anything else this week?
I don't think so.
Kryn, did you get anything this week?
I got a router.
Yeah, it's behind us.
And as soon as we're done with this, you're going to set it up.
Woo! That's right.
And I'm not going to set it up because I'm a girl. And the router isn't pink.
Wait a second.
And I don't want to do it. So you router's... have to. Router's black. It's in that bag over there.
Yeah,
that blue bag right there.
Oh, damn it.
More work for you.
And it's a Linksys router, which means it's probably black with blue LEDs.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's probably broken.
Oh.
It better not be.
Yeah, if it is, we're going to have to go back to Best Buy. And I mean, that alliterates, too. We're going to have to be bros, go back to the Best Buy, and show them the link, the Fitbit Bro Blue.
The Blinksys.
Yeah.
Well, don't lose the receipt if it's going to break.
If the receipt fell on the floor when I yanked it out of the bag.
It's gravity.
I got it.
All right. Well, hopefully that will work. Because right now, only one computer can be online, which is kind of annoying when there's two people and two computers.
Yeah. We'll solve it, though.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's all we got this week, then that is the episode.
Just let me follow up on something from last time.
Oh.
You received that package from Finland last time.
Yes.
And you said you were saving the chocolates that were housed within.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever eat those chocolates?
They're still in my fridge because on my birthday I ended up with 3 cakes.
Well, you were supposed to, like, pick out, and it was today your birthday?
My birthday was last Saturday, but technically my birthday runs for 2 weeks because that's how we do things in Canada. So well, as long as I have them within the next week, I'll be fine.
You'll be eating it right now?
I didn't want to subject them to Megabus.
Okay.
The Border Patrol might have gone like, you know, they already were like, oh, how do you know an American?
It's still in Canada?
What?
The chocolate?
He left them there, didn't bring any to share.
Wow, they were gonna melt. A jerk.
They were going to melt.
Can you save me, like, a piece of one?
Yeah.
Sweet.
They were going to melt if I brought them on the Megabus. And then customs would have been all like, where are these chocolates from? America as well? I've been like, no, Finland. He would have just shot me in the face.
How do you know someone from Finland? How is this possible?
How does a Canadian know an American and a Finlandian? And then I'd
at
be like...
At the same time.
When I got through customs, I was sitting there thinking to myself, what would have happened if I told him I regularly commune with at least two Americans every week to record podcasts on the internet? Like, would he have just shot his computer and just, like, ran out of the building going like, it's all over!
Some kind of witchcraft.
Yeah. Oh, Border Patrol. But thank you all for tuning in. Thank you once again, Seth, for swinging by. Thank you, Kryn, for letting me record in your house.
You're welcome.
And scream I'm invincible at 5 to 1 in the morning. Straight at the ceiling. We'll be back once again with WTF at TFW. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail in our Google Voice inbox, the number for that is 318-775-9830. That is 318-775-9830. 318-775-9830. Make sure that even if you're on a cell phone, you somehow get across the idea of a landline click, or I'm going to be really annoyed at the end of the voicemail. That's just, I have a thing. I need to... I need the click.
Alright.
Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, bye-bye!
What the fuck's going on there?
Hi, I'm Dashi, and this is WTF at TFW, episode 215. Enjoy.